How many of you are here last service? Wow, that's a good showing. I don't have to repeat a lot of because I want to do a second part in a series. Just the quickest book announcements. Book number one, How to Know Your Destiny. Book number two, How to Come Into Your Destiny. All right? And they go hand in hand. I really believe that with your church's heart for discipleship and the school, it's to release you into who you are called to be. All right? That's a strong church. And you have really great leaders, and I'm a big fan of them, and I know you are too. So, but get the books and be encouraged in the way that you're going. You know, in the last service, I preached part one of a three-part sermon, and it really came out of the scripture that is very familiar to us all. It's out of. By the way, I'm kind of being a little bit. My iPad's giving me problems here. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for I just lay hands on my iPad, and I just pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I want to pray that you will just take over. I just feel like tonight you're going to give peace of mind to people and hearts, and there's going to be a freedom going to be released right now. And it's just if I could lay hands on you, but really, most importantly, the Spirit's going to touch your mind. And you're going to have life and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was coming out of Matthew 22, 37. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and all of your mind. In the first service, I spoke about loving God with your heart and why it's so important to receive his love. And again, Teresa started doing my sermon. You know, you said something very profound. You said, I couldn't breathe. Did you know that the Greek word here for soul can be translated breath? So the enemy's trying to steal your breath. He's trying to steal, what is breath? It's when you know, when you're out of breath, you're out of life, you're out of strength. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. I'll talk about how to come really into your destiny, how to breathe with God. But tonight I wanted to focus on the mind because I think they're very, very closely attached to one another. Because I believe that most people, if you interview them, you can tell whether they struggle with the mind or with the heart. Usually it's one or the other. It's not. I'm not saying it can't be a good combination, but usually it's a heart issue. They just can't get past a pain. They can't get past an abandonment. They can't get past a failure. There's something in their heart, no matter what their head tries to tell them. But there are other people, they're just totally full-time. It's a battle of the mind. It's totally, they just can't get peace, like peace of mind. They can, and they really don't realize that based on life experience, they have developed what we would call ungodly beliefs. And there, when you believe something based on experience, and it's true to you because, you know, you can't trust people. You can't give them your heart because they'll do this. You start saying things like really you're making vows and declarations over your life because your mind starts to say, hey, people don't really love you. They're just, they can't really love you. You know, I had that one. I had a firm belief that people try to care, but I didn't really always believe it. So when people even tried to care for me, I couldn't receive it. So it can be very, very subtle. So when we're talking loving God with all of our mind, we have to understand that we didn't decide to have these ungodly beliefs, but we need the Spirit of truth to expose any belief in us that is inconsistent with God's character and nature. Because, you can say all day you believe that God loves you, but if you don't walk like someone who knows his love, it's just something that's not a reality for you. And that's the problem with religion. Religion has a form, and you say a lot of the right things, but it's not really a truth for your life. And that's why religion's boring. I think religion's terribly boring. And, you know, it's born again, not bored again, all right? And I believe that the mind is attacked and that people, we can become judgmental, we can be filled with doubt, we can be filled with skepticism. And our mind is controlled really by our flesh, and we're not even aware of it. In fact, we can love Jesus, we can be aware of him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that our mind is controlled by the Spirit. I want you to, if you have Bibles, and they'll put it up there, Romans chapter 8. And this is a section of Scripture that, it's one of my favorite passages. I just love Romans 8. If you want to spend some really good time with the Lord, memorize chapter 8. It's verse 1 is, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. I was just going to go to 5, but... So, right, for example, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, so no one in this room struggles with condemnation. Wait a second. Why not? I'm trying to tell you, the mind controlled by the Spirit, if the truth of God is there's no condemnation, how much is no condemnation? See, that's a mind. That's the truth. The truth isn't your experience. How you perceive things. I was showing you in the first service the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, we feel like we should be condemned. We feel like we deserve to be condemned. We certainly know that we do fall short. But when the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, how does that truth become a reality? I wouldn't say I'm 100%. I'm about 99% no condemnation zone. I do really good. Try to guilt me. It will never work. Why? Because I love the conviction of the Holy Spirit way too much, and I found that my condemnation produces no fruit. How many have ever found that just beating yourself up and a little more condemnation really makes a big difference for you? Who here needs someone else to help you condemn yourself? Okay? This is my point, is it's not working. So Romans 8, if we're going to have to skip here, because I want to go into this really quick, is you want your mind to be controlled by the Spirit, and you're going to love God with all of your mind. So the way you do that is you become a person who has a Spirit-filled mind. Just like you invite Jesus into your heart, you can invite him into your mind. You're really inviting him into your whole being, right? When you're saying your own prayer. But tonight, let's just say, Lord, come into my mind. Take over. Fill my mind. Take my imagination. Give me dreams. Give me visions. Let my mind see who you are. Let my mind know the truth of the Spirit. How many want that? And the Bible tells us what it looks like. Verse 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. See, what your desire, and by the way, you know, it's not that you have bad desires and all these things, but the sinful nature, it's preoccupied with itself. And the mind is like in our culture, and in many cultures, it's really like given paramount. Like feelings are belittled, but good thinking that's paramount and that's applauded. You know, people say they're too emotional. You know, I feel like sometimes, no, that person's not too emotional. The rest of us aren't emotional enough. But the mind controlled by the Spirit... It continues on here. Let me just read it, though. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set, fixated, focused on what the Spirit desires. So my mind, often, as I'm asking the Lord, what's on your heart? What is it that you desire for me? What is it that you want to do through me? Look, I'm not here to give a message. I'm here to give you breakthrough in your mind and heart. I'm here to command a blessing into your mind and heart. I'm here to shift the heavenly realms over this church and over this community so that you will enter into a new place of life and peace. We want a spiritual atmosphere shift. But guess what? Your mind has to come in agreement with heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So you set your mind on what the Spirit desires. You ask the Holy Spirit what he's doing, what he wants to do. Listen to this. The mind of sinful man is death, But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. How do you know that your mind is being controlled by the Spirit? You have life and peace. How many of you are struggling with too much mental life and peace? I just have way too mental life and peace going on in my life. Just don't know I can handle more. I need a few more problems. Why can't we? Why can't we pursue it? And you know what? It's like a prayer list. It's just telling you. It's what does your mind think about that doesn't cause life and peace? You see, you grab onto things that aren't true. I remember one time I was going down the line, we were praying for people, and I came up to this young woman, and I said to her, wow, God's going to give you a very powerful prophetic gift, and I think you're going to really speak into people's lives. And she goes, I'm shy. I don't think I could do that. I said, who told you you were shy? She goes, what do you mean? I am shy. I said, I don't believe you. I said, I want you to ask the Lord right now to tell you why you think you're shy. She started to cry. She was about 18. I said, what did he show you? She said, when I was 12 years old, my body started to change. And I started getting the wrong attention. And I shut down. And the Lord just showed me that. I said, guess what? You're not shy. And now you get to go heal the daughters that have gone through the same thing. That was a shift. See, the sinful mind is death. The result was she believed something that wasn't true about her because she had to cope with the pain. By the way, I told that story. Very important. I wanted the young people to hear this. God is the one who will tell you who you are. And then your mind agrees with him. And you say, Lord, that's too big. That's crazy. I could never do that. Okay, I'll take that back. I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to start to proclaim it because you are my God, and you can do immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. You see, agreement with heaven can bring such a transition because the Lord is wanting to give you revelation of who you are and who you're to become. And so the sinful mind is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, when I started hearing the Lord and he would start telling me who I was, he would start telling me, as you've heard my story, for those of you who are just coming tonight, he would tell me how much he loved me over and over, and I just got to, you know, and he still tells me that. He's so... Like I was saying in the next service, he's so mushy and he keeps on telling me that. But now, a lot of times, he talks to me about other things because I've learned to hear his voice. You know, when I come and I stay the night over here at the Comfort Inn and I drive and I start looking around, I start looking for the Father's business. See, I notice all the Chinese students going over to that airport. I think if I lived here and China came to me, I think I'd have them in my house. Because see, the Father's business, if you set your mind on what the Spirit desires, you start to see what the Father's seeing. But listen to this. It has to start with you seeing you as the Father sees you. That's where your mind has to start to come in agreement with God. You know, my favorite classic biblical story, this is Jeremiah. God goes to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you, before you were born I set you apart. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. And here's his amazing spiritual response. I'm too young and I don't know how to speak. It's like God's like, did you hear me? I knew you before I formed you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Why couldn't he hear it? He told God, but wait a second. I'm too young. Don't you remember? I don't know how to speak. Don't you remember? I lost my parents when I was young. How could I become the restorer of families? See, we tell things, God, these kind of things, and he says, but no, I set you apart in the womb. You know, this is why the enemy hates prophecy. He wants it to look stupid and sound controlling. You know what? Prophecy is strengthening, comfort, and encouragement. And when you hear words for people that they can't hear for themselves, I remember one time I was doing a meeting like this, and there was a woman in the front row. Her name was Catherine. Catherine looked, she looked like she'd had a really hard life. Her hair was just literally just matted to her head. She looked like very pale, very weak. I thought there was going to, I just look at her and I go, wow, there's a spirit of death. There's an assignment against her. I start to go, and I'm like, you know, taking out my ninja sword, you know, like, I'm going to go after this spirit, you know. And the Lord says, that's not what she needs. I want you to tell her her destiny right now. Okay, Father, what's her destiny? He says, tell her that she's going to help women who have very poor self-image and don't even know if they can keep living, and she's going to bring them into life. So tell her. So I'm just speaking this destiny word. I mean, it didn't even feel right. I wanted ninja time. You know what I'm like? It's like, it was like, you know, demon, you know, let's go after the demon, you know? And God is saying, no, I want you to speak my truth to her mind. Because if she'll grab it, she'll be transformed. 6 months. I'm talking 6 months later. This woman comes running up to me. Mark, you remember me? I hate that. That awkward moment where you want to pretend you do, but you know if you have integrity, you got to say, I have no clue. She says, Mark, it's Catherine. 6 months ago, you spoke a word over me. I now have a ministry to women because of that word. I looked at her and I said, I can't even recognize you. And she just thanked me. She says, all you did was told me who I am. Wow. Another time Kenya was my training ground. That's why I talk a lot about it. We now have close to 3,500 churches in Kenya. Isn't that amazing? Scott, Becky, you were part of birthing that movement. It's a movement in that nation. It's known as a movement of freedom in the spirit. But when I started going to Kenya, the Lord would tell me stuff about who I was. And he says, oh, I'm going to show you today. He says, you're going to shift this entire denomination. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do through you. Now, your mind is just like, what? How am I going to do it? So I went to this meeting, and the women were wearing these hats. They were to be saved. They had all these rules. They had all these rules. And God said, I gave me a message. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And I had to address all the rules. And I just did it in love. And you know what happened? The changing of the mind. The bishop got up. He felt the love of God. He felt confronted. And he said, I cancel now all these rules. And that movement went from 75 churches to nearly 300 in a matter of a year as they canceled all these man-made rules. Now, there's two parts to that story. One is I had to believe what God told me. And then he had to believe what God was telling him. You see, this is how it goes. It's like dominoes. When you start to believe in who you are and you worship the Lord with your mind, thank you for who you created me. And by the way, the more you want to grow, who do you want to become like? Jesus. So your mind starts to say, what is Jesus like? What did Jesus talk about? What did Jesus do? Because Jesus said that you'll do, if you anyone who believes in me will do what I've been doing. That's radical. If you haven't believed, that's just that verse. See, part of the danger in American culture is we think that just because we say we believe something in our head, but it doesn't translate into action. If you believe that you can do the works that Jesus did, if you believe him, then let's try it. Try it. We don't need to go to Africa to pray for the deaf. I see miracles in America. In fact, is Lupe here tonight? There are some others. Literally, she was right here in the meeting. She's had a condition with her feet. The bottom of her feet, she couldn't walk. It was one of the things I called out. Last night, she came up. It's totally healed. Who else experienced any physical healing? Anybody? This weekend. So we're praying. Okay? Great. So we're just asking the Lord for these things. And it just comes with agreeing with God beyond our own experience and our own imagination. You know, one time on another trip, I was going to Kenya, and the Lord told me, every time you have an opinion, you're going to be miserable. So I went there, and it was so hot. It was like 105 degrees and humid, and they wanted me to wear this. We had a Bible school graduation, and they wanted me to wear this gown in 105-degree weather while they cooked chickens and all the smoke came into the room. It was really a special event. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm miserable. I'm like, so hot. And the Lord said, I told you. I said, what do you mean? He said, I just want you to try the rest of the trip not to have an opinion about anything. So I got back from the trip. I said, maybe this could become a way of life. What I mean is when you form something, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there. I don't want to... You know, it's kind of like we make up all these things that we don't realize we're just trying to control an environment that we can't control. So I really have done a lot of full-time work on minimizing at a very low level of having opinions about much. You know why? Because I have found that my opinions aren't really that helpful. For example, you know, people are upset, you know, with the Christian community, you know, how their viewpoint on homosexuals and all this. I love homosexuals. I love them. Do you think it's sin? I just say, well, the Bible's my authority, but I love, I just go right back to the love. I just love them. I'm crying out for 1,200 of them on the coast of Kenya. I want them to come to Christ. And we will bring many. Yes, I could form a lot of opinions. But what's the Lord saying? You know what the Lord says when I think about that population? He says, those are my sons. Call my sons home. Do you know what it's like when I'm driving by a strip club and I'm looking at it and I'm going, Father, give us our daughters. Why? Because my mind doesn't have to have an opinion about it. I just want to know what my father sees, and he sees daughters. And one of them is a woman at the well waiting for you to meet them and call them to living water. But if you don't see them, because your mind has opinions. That's what I love about you. Hair guy there. Yeah. You're an amazing bridge. You're not afraid to go to the dark. And most Christians, we should be. Christians should never be afraid of the dark. We're the light. but we have to know that we're strong and we're accountable so that we bring the light into the darkness and not the darkness to us. And that's the transition you're in right now. And when you get that nailed down, watch out. You could start an evangelistic movement out of this house in this region. Is that true? Is that your heart? And you know where it starts? Here. Right here. We don't disqualify ourselves. We don't talk ourselves out of it. We don't tell God, you're crazy, you don't know who I am. That's what Jeremiah did. God said, stop it. Then he goes, today I put my words in your mouth. That's quite of a sudden transition, I would think. You know, like, I'm too young. Oh, I'm prophesying. You know, it's like, wow. And then you know what God said to him? This is crazy text. He goes, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. What? I'm too young and I don't know how to speak. And now all of a sudden, I appoint you over kingdoms and nations. Nations! Do you want it? It's yours. You have to understand. This realm of authority, do you think you're growing because, you know, God likes your church just getting to have more services? He wants to use you to transform this entire region. But you got to be transformed. The mind. It's so powerful. But you know, when you start to agree with heaven about you, it's very natural to start agreeing about heaven about others. Oh, I'm in Oregon. I could really get in trouble for this one. What about your president? I don't have to form an opinion about my president. All I know is that I have prophets from all over the nation saying, that guy's hungry. I think he's a Cyrus. God used an unbelieving king to deliver a nation. I have a friend named Lance Wallnau. Has anybody heard of him? Lance Wallnau wrote a book 6 months before when the Lord had woken up in the night and said, Trump will be the next king, president, and he will be a Cyrus. He called it the Cyrus. He wrote a book. He went out. That's a prophet going out when you write a book and publish it. He will be the next president, and he will be a Cyrus. God will bring and orchestrate people in his life. Do I defend anything he's done that I can't stand? No. Do I like the things he said? No, I'm part Hispanic. I don't look it, but inside I am. I am. My best friend, Fernando Aragalar. From sixth grade up, I lived pretty much with a Mexican family. Okay? I have a heart for immigrant, all that. But you know what? The more I have an opinion, and the more this nation gets obsessed with its opinion, it's bringing destruction. Am I going over the line here? I'm not making a political statement here. I'm giving you a spiritual illustration. Just pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for the people that are influencing him. I can tell you, though, stand publicly, I know three people that have had his ear and that have prophesied over him. And you know what he said to my friend? He said, whatever you do with that oil, go ahead around to the whole White House and anoint it, whatever you do. I don't understand it, but just go anoint the whole thing. So they're going around anointing the White House with oil. You see, you have the mind of Christ. The world is not going to constantly torment you and tell you who you are. And you have each other. And you're about the love of God. And you're going to produce it wherever you go. And you're going to sow fruit, good fruit. You know, James 3 is that whole passage that says that the wisdom of God is what? First of all, pure, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. That's what I want. Now, am I saying we don't oppose injustice? Yes, we do. I'm not trying to create a position where God doesn't show us things to do. But what I'm saying is this, is your mind is controlled by the Spirit, and you're going to have life and peace, and you're not going to let anything, the news, you're not going to let anything steal your life and peace again. What would it be if that's what you were like? I am not ever going to let the enemy steal my life and peace. My mind belongs to Jesus. I'm going to love my God with all of my mind. My mind is His. I'm going to think about Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to hear Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to adore Him. I'm going to honor Him with my mind. And if I don't understand it, I'll say, God, that's your problem. I'm serious. I just tell God, you got it. And if it's outside my realm of authority, I've got enough things in my realm of authority to learn how to manage. Worried about someone else's sphere of authority. So my mind is like, Lord, what's on your heart? What do you want to do? What's on your to-do list? What do you want to dream about? And I'll tell you the things, they're in the book and some of the things that I've written, but I have stories that just one of the stories or four of the stories, you read them and go, really? That's like too amazing. And you know what I say? All glory to Jesus, but I'll tell you what, I believe Him when He speaks. And my mind does not, I don't want to wrestle with God over things. I want to trust Him. And I want to obey. Do I test things? Yes. Am I accountable? I'm highly accountable. But my mind, I want to worship Him with my mind. You know, I need to be closing. Tomorrow I'm going to do it on soul. I might really has to do with your destiny and with your life, but I just really want to pray right now. I want to break something. I want to have a breakthrough for you thinking. Anybody want it? I'm just curious if you want it too, okay? Because I'd be glad to just pray for more. I mean, I've never said that publicly on the Trump thing. I don't know if I'll... Give me feedback if it wasn't fruitful for you. So, you know, it was helpful? Because I'm just trying to encourage you. Okay? And you know what the great thing about God is when we trust Him and release Him, then He can do His work. So we'll just, if you have questions, we just say, Father, you do your work. I trust you. And, you know, I really feel like the mind of Christ among your leaders in this season. I feel like you're really going to make some very important decisions. And here's the confidence we have. So we go, Lord, we're worshiping with our minds too. We love you with our minds. Just fill us. Give us divine strategies. You know, I get a lot of dreams. Ann and I ask for dreams. Specific dreams that have really good strategy from heaven. One time Ann saw that literally we were looking for a house. She saw the inside of the house. So we just looked. I said, honey, is this the one? She goes, no, we got to go to the next one. Finally, she goes, yep, that's it. This is what's around the corner. I mean, that's a pretty good dream, you know. The mind, God will take it. He'll fill it. If you ask him, the hungry will be filled. I want you to bow in prayer. I'm going to be honest, okay? I want to be straightforward. There are people in this room who are mentally tormented. You feel like it's torment. It's a constant barrage of negative thoughts. But tonight, the sword of the Lord is here. And it's being released into the foundations. And by the way, I'll come in agreement with you right now, if that's you, if you're one of those people. And you know who you are, but I'm not wanting to embarrass anyone or draw attention to a person. But I come in agreement. And I say right now, as I thrust the sword into your foundation, I cut off every curse and every mental source that has come to torment you and steal from you. I release the power of the Holy Spirit right now, and I say, Father, come and bring freedom for those people tonight. I speak peace, not as the world gives, to your mind. I loosen it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Migraines on the right side, you must stop, whoever you are, in Jesus' name. Lower back pain, I command you to leave right now as a sign of the mental freedom. What's on the left side in the middle? I command you to leave right now as a sign of the release on the spirit of what's happening in that person. I pray a blessing over each person. And I just want you to say this with me. My mind belongs to Jesus. I want to love you with all of my mind, Lord. I want to agree with you and with your word. And just in the next few days, he's going to start showing. He's going to start exposing stuff. And you're going to go, yeah, I have believed that. There's great materials out there. Google ungodly beliefs. Work with teams. I don't know if you have inner healing teams. Restoring the Foundations is one of my favorite. And start to really identify those ungodly beliefs and conquer one at a time and tear them down. Why? 2 Corinthians 10:3, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So I release a favor. I release a spirit of revelation to reveal the lies and the attacks against you. And I speak a blessing upon you and upon this church. In Jesus' name, amen.